Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I'm Sarah Avery of Sarah Avery Legal Practice, and this week I'm releasing the podcast one day early because there are some important things going on. So today is the 31st of August and it's equal pay day. But importantly, a big change is happening in the family law sphere tomorrow. So I'd like to give you a little bit of a lowdown about that. I'm recording this podcast on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal, Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And I acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Let me talk first a little bit about Equal Pay Day, and then I'll move on to give you a little bit of an introduction as to what's happening on the 1st of September 2021 in the family law sphere. My talk about the family law changes is going to be brief, but it's more just a chance to let you know that something's afoot, and I'll try and refer you to people who might know a lot more about this, because as you know, I'm not a family lawyer, but I think it's really important for the public to know when big things are afoot. So first, let's talk Equal Pay Day. I'm referring to an article in Women's Agenda by Chandal Brandamati, and the article is entitled, "Think the Gender Pay Gap is Just About Equal Pay? Think Again." So what this article indicates is that women would have to work an additional 61 days from the end of the financial year to earn the same as men, and that number of days has increased since 2020. So the gender pay gap in Australia has gotten worse. It has widened to 14.2%, which is apparently an increase of 0.8% over the past 12 months, which equates to $261.50 less per week in women's average full-time earnings. So the author of this article, though, points out that just measuring the pay gap between men and women isn't enough. We need to start looking at the gaps within the gaps, in her words. So she wants to make sure that we start measuring so that we can manage pay gaps of women who fall within marginalized identities. And that seems really important. Now, the idea of getting data on the intersectional aspects of the pay gap seems pretty obvious to me and apparently to this author. Hopefully it's something that can start being measured, because I think there's really a huge benefit in acknowledging the differences in our pay. We need to fight for it, but we need to make sure we're fighting for everyone so that it's not just about one group of women fighting for equal pay, but making sure that all women have access to that, helping build everyone up, because we're all starting from different starting points because of racism and colonialism in Australia. So that is my short talk about Equal Pay Day. Basically, it's really important, but we can do even better with our measurements so that we can fight even harder. Let's think about what we can do. Obviously, keeping the pressure on the powers that be, but if you are one of the powers that be, if you are an employer, think carefully about what you pay your employees and just check in with yourself as to whether you are paying female employees less or whether you're paying them the same amount, and what factors play into that. Is it because you feel that you're not being asked for higher salaries? Is it because you feel unconsciously that that's the way it is done? I'm not saying that it's at the front of your mind and that you're doing it on purpose, but it's always good to check in with your own assumptions about why you do certain things. I try to make a real effort to do this myself. Obviously, I don't employ anyone, but in other areas of my life, when I'm having a certain gut reaction to things, I try to just ask myself why and unpack it to make sure it's not on the basis of unconscious racism, because it is in there, I think, in most of us. If we've been raised in Australia or, you know, certain other countries, we grow up with it. We don't realize we have it. It's just inside us. So let's all try and reflect, make sure that our decisions are the best decisions that we can make. And now let's turn to the area in which I have absolutely no expertise, the family court merger. So just an introduction to the structure as it currently stands of the family court. We have the family court itself, and then as part of the federal court, we have the federal circuit court, so actually two separate entities dealing with family law matters. And that was set up as a way to try and take the pressure off the family court to make justice more accessible to people in the community. So tomorrow, the 1st of September 2021, a new entity will come into being, and that is the Federal Circuit and Family Court of Australia. And it's going to have its own court rules, its own practice directions, and there is no transitional period for legal practitioners or their clients. There is just the new practice direction, the new rules in place. When I say there's no transitional period, what I mean is, of course, there'll be arrangements made to make things run smoothly, but in terms of legal rules that govern the court, they just start. Now, because I'm not a family lawyer, I'm not across the ins and outs of what this means, but there is an organisation called the Canberra Region Family Law Professionals Association, and they will be running a virtual event for their members. Dr. Sage Leslie and James Haddock will be running a session called New FCFCOA Rules and Practice Direction. That's for members at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 2nd of September 2021. So if you happen to be listening and you're in that group, I would get along to that. But let me just talk to you as a member of the public about the sorts of things that the layperson might want to know about this court. Noting, of course, that I am no expert and I'll just be dealing with it at the same level that you probably would be. So let's do that without further ado. As I've said, I'm not an expert in this area. I don't work in this area. So please bear in mind that the information that I pass on to you is information that has been given to us by the government. And I'm not really in a position to reflect on whether this merger will achieve its outcomes or not. So in a press release from the Family Court of Australia, we have update to the profession number one, countdown to the commencement of the new Federal Circuit and Family Court of Australia. So what is being noted is that for now, there is not one single point of entry into this system. And the press release says that for the first time in 21 years, there will be a single point of entry and harmonised rules, forms and case management processes to provide a streamlined approach to family law proceedings. It's hoped that this will simplify procedures and have cases move through the system quickly and fairly and with as little detrimental impact on families and children as possible. That's the wording of the press release, not my words, because as I said, I really don't know enough about it to be particularly informative aside from just letting you know that this is happening. One of the things that will be changing is the addition of a national contravention list, which will commence on the 1st of September 2021. You may or may not be familiar with the term lists in court. Basically, a list is a group of cases that have something in common. So this particular one will be to do with people who are contravening orders of the family court, because the court is going to be trying to focus on making people comply with court orders. So the idea behind amalgamating these courts, the Honourable Will Alstergren has said that people have been giving feedback for a long time that the system isn't working. They're finding it to be unfair and expensive and harmful to people. So what the government is hoping is that this amalgamation might assist with some of those issues that are being reflected back by people who are experiencing the system as litigants. So while I don't work in this area, I have been following this issue for a while in terms of knowing that the amalgamation was being floated and finding out that it was going to happen. And I can reflect that among the lawyers that I have read articles from, I don't get the sense that this is broadly supported by lawyers themselves. Rather, it's something that is being done despite their opinions. Now, I know that there'll be different opinions about it, but for example, For example, the ACT Law Society has spoken out against the merger, and as reported by Lawyers Weekly in an article entitled 157 Sign Letter Opposing Controversial Family Court Merger, which was published on the 16th of February 2021 with Emma Ryan as the author, it was noted that an open letter was sent to the Federal Attorney General opposing the merger. It included the signatories of 157 prominent people within the profession. There were a range of professional and community organisations signing it, and the signatories included 11 retired family court and federal circuit court judges, as well as former chief justices, the Honourable Elizabeth Evatt and the Honourable Alistair Nicholson. Other parties who are noted as those who opposed this merger include the Law Council of Australia, Community Legal Centres Australia, Women's Legal Services Australia, and National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. So a lot of very interested and intimately involved parties opposed this amalgamation. Broadly, and I take this from the open letter that was circulated, the main concern seems to be that this merger will dilute the specialisation that has been built up with people handling matters that are very sensitive and potentially risky, such as domestic violence matters. If we put that into business terms that you might be familiar with, it's akin to a business saying that they might be losing their institutional knowledge when people leave or rearrangements occur within the structure of the business. It's that sort of thing, but on a more serious and much larger scale. I have no doubt that there's broader complexity than that, but just talking to you at the level that I understand it, that's the major concern that I can see that people have with this. So as I said, this starts tomorrow, the 1st of September. There will be no doubt a lot of commentary that occurs about it. People will be giving their opinions about how it's going, I would say from pretty soon after it starts operation. So if you hear things about that, you'll now know it's in relation to the amalgamation of these two courts that have been separate for a long time. Hopefully things go well for the sake of everyone in the system, but I can say that there is a bit of trepidation about how it will go. And as you can see from what I've spoken to you about in terms of the number of people opposing it, the number of peak bodies opposing it, there is a sense of concern about how it's going to be operating. Because I'm not a family lawyer, I don't really know how it's going to go. I don't have clients who this is going to affect. I'm very lucky in that respect. If you're someone who's going through the family law system at the moment and hears about the merger and is concerned, can I encourage you to get in touch with your lawyer if you have one, or look to perhaps get some legal assistance or legal advice, just so that you understand how this might affect you. I think it's really important for members of the public to have a sense of confidence in the legal system. So hopefully knowing that this merger is occurring gives you some empowerment in terms of the information you have, and perhaps sends you away with some questions if you are involved in the system, just so that you can get some reassurance from your legal practitioners. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. This has been a one day early episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast, because today, the 31st of August 2021, is Equal Pay Day, and we all have some things to think about with regard to equal pay. And it's the day before the launch of a new court that is actually an amalgamation of two old courts, and we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Thanks once again for listening. I'm Sarah Avery of Sarah Avery Legal Practice. And just noting that we're in the middle of a pandemic and that Canberra is in lockdown, please look after yourselves, look after each other, stay safe and healthy. See you later.